Welcome to Real Estate Hackers, where you'll hear how real estate investors grew something from nothing.
Property management is going to become more tech.
Our entire business today is based off of a hack.
What if you could put $1,000 into an apartment building project on your phone?
With YouTube, with podcasts, you can catch up very quickly to a seasoned investor.
Now here's your real estate hacker host, Chad Gallagher.
Today's episode is part of our Landlord Chronicle series, where we hear from amazing landlords about their most interesting landlording story, along with a lesson to help you invest better. Dave Heisen in the studio. What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
It's good. So, our Landlord Chronicles stories. You've been a landlord for a while.
A little bit.
For better or worse?
Yeah.
What, like 20 years now?
2006.
Okay.
That's when I started.
Yeah. And you've managed all sorts of stuff. Some nice stuff, some not so nice things. Some stuff you probably wish you didn't manage.
Right. I gave some of that stuff to you guys at one point.
Yeah. All in York, right?
Right. Yep. All York.
Cool. So give us a good story.
So the most memorable thing I had is back when I was like working as a regular job, one of the folks I worked with, he had a 2-unit, and it was like their only building.
Okay.
Right? He's like, I want to sell this thing. You know, we're not making any money. And really, like, he was doing it right. Like, he had the right idea. He bought it right. But he's like, I'm going over there, like, every weekend to do work. And he had this tenant that was just, like, needy. Right? So there was always, she was always calling him, always doing something. So he's like, so I want to sell the building. So it's like, great. So we got the building sold, and then we sold it to a client of ours, and then we started managing it.
Okay.
And it was going well. She was calling a good bit, but we kind of like laid the wall down with that a little bit. We're like, all right, we can't be coming over to like change your light bulb. Like, that's not our responsibility.
Right.
And at the time, I think we were managing like 100 units. So okay. we were kind of getting some steam, but we weren't staffed over the weekend yet. Okay. So weekends, Mondays, we would come in and we'd have to deal with whatever it was that occurred over the weekend.
Yeah.
So come into the office on a Monday, and I get these series of voicemails, and I'm like, this was back when you had the red dot on the phone, you know, so like, let's see what we got today. So first voicemail, she's like, I'm gonna need some help over here. I fell off the toilet.
Oh, no.
And I'm stuck between the toilet and the wall. And she's like, can you please send someone over to help me? And then that was the end of that voicemail.
This is like a Saturday voicemail.
This is Monday.
Right, so you're listening Monday.
Right.
That voicemail comes in Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what happened? Like, is she okay? So then we get second voicemail, and I'm like, well, hopefully she didn't just call us. Like,
right.
Like, I don't know if that's the type of thing you call your landlord about.
Right.
So second one is, I called the fire department. They're on their way. I'll let you know what happens. Like, all right. And I'm like, I'm not sure that's who I would have called either, but.
At least someone's coming.
So. Second or third voicemail is, all right, I'm in the hospital. The fire department came, they got me unstuck, but you're gonna need a new toilet. So then we called, find out like what the situation is. Like, they completely just smash the toilet up, because you know how fire department people are. Like, they come in like, oh, your house is on fire, let's rip a bunch of holes in the roof and like completely douse it.
Right, they could have just like lifted her out of there.
Right.
They said just
smash it.
So firefighters come in and completely rip up your toilet.
Right.
But what makes no sense here is the lady is stuck, I guess presumably, next to the toilet.
Right.
It's not the toilet's fault.
No. And like, I don't know how stuck, like, obviously I wasn't there for it, but I'm like, And I don't really understand how this situation occurs. Certainly never something's happened in my life yet. I gotta say yet, because we still got some years left. But.
Right. So what, like, presumably, Fireman Kanda is like, well, the only possible way to get you out of here is to completely just destroy a toilet.
Right.
And then you have to tell the owners, sorry, like, toilet's been destroyed because tenant got stuck next to it.
Right, right. And the guy's like, what? Like, you know what I mean? You've dealt with these folks, like owners.
Right, they don't want to pay for anything.
Yeah, and they think you're just making something up to gouge him for money. So it's like, I had to send pictures of this smashed toilet to him. And then it's like, you know, they want the tenant to pay for that. And it's like, I'm not sure whose fault this is. You know, this is just something that occurs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know, in the least, can you say, like, new clause, like, if you get stuck next to a home appliance, you're responsible for
right,
it.
For the appliance. Right. I don't know, like, does renter's insurance even pay for that?
I don't know who would pay for it.
I don't think they had it at the time.
Yeah.
It's before I wised out that the tenants had to have renters.
So what did you do? You paid for it, like, you didn't make the tenant pay for them.
No. The owner ended up paying for it reluctantly, I think, and
plus he knew this tenant probably, because he was...
No, this was a new owner.
Oh, new owner.
The original guy.
Oh, okay.
So this was a kind of inherited tenant for him. We didn't place him, she just kind of came with the building. So then the great part about this is, then I wasn't working at that job any longer because I was doing real estate full time at that point. But I just ran into the old owner at a grocery store, and he was the one that was like, you know, frustrated with dealing with this tenant on a regular basis.
And then you tell that
and
owner
I tell
this guy,
the story,
and he probably
and
loved it.
Like, yeah, he like died. He's like, you gotta be kidding me, because he was literally over there doing something for this woman like every weekend.
Right.
Like, the property, like, not ruined his life, but, like, that's just, they were doing it right, I think, but, like, wasn't setting appropriate boundaries with the tenant, and then they only ever had one building.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people make, is, like, they're like, oh, we got some income coming in here, like, and then they don't buy another one because they're like, this is too overwhelming, it's too much work.
Right.
And then, like, you get that one vacancy and you're 50% vacant, you know?
Yeah, look, I mean, real estate, if you don't start to turn it into kind of like a factory with systems and stuff, it can become overwhelming and complicated and stressful. So what's the lesson here?
I'm not sure what the lesson is.
By the way, one interesting point is, I don't know if this would have saved you, but it is interesting now, as management companies start to consolidate and grow a little bit, a lot of management companies now have weekend kind of emergency response, someone answering the phone.
Right. Yeah. Since then, like, I've gotten into management again. I'm not doing a lot of it right now, but we used a third-party call service. So that we didn't have to deal with that kind of thing.
Right. Because just because, like, I don't know if that would have helped or not, but it might have avoided the
destruction of a toilet.
Yeah.
The wanton destruction of a toilet.
Right. I mean, I don't know who you would call. I would think, like, the police maybe would come out, like, for, like, a home check.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the type of thing that, like, if I got that call, I would probably, like,
go over yourself.
I gotta come out and see what's going on here.
Right.
How did this happen?
Right, or like a handyman goes out
right.
And just like kind of gets the thing under control. We do find that, I mean, obviously not every call that's an emergency is an emergency, but it de-escalating things quickly really helps.
Right.
Like, even if it's not an emergency, just having some rational what to do. And if you let it up to the public
right.
To figure out what to do, oftentimes their approach is going to be very different than,
like, well, routinely, I don't know if this is your experience too, but there'll be an issue presumably that's happening all week long, and inevitably the tenant calls Friday evening
yeah.
And is like, hey, I have this leak. Can you send someone out to check it out? But the way they describe it is like, there's like water pouring through my ceiling. And you get out there and it's like, the air conditioner in the second floor is not mounted right, and there's like a water stain on the drop ceiling, you know, or yeah. something to that effect.
Yeah, I think the difference between like something that's brought to the attention as an emergency, and then figuring out, one, is this truly an emergency? Now in this case, like someone being stuck next to a toilet, that needs to be solved.
That constitutes an
emergency. Yeah, now how we deal with the emergency is different. But like step one is just, is it an emergency?
Right.
Or not. And you know, to your point, a lot of things, you know, are just not emergencies. I mean, they're problems that need to be solved that can be solved on a Monday or a Tuesday, and they can wait through the weekend. And then step two of that is like, okay, now if it is an emergency, like what is our path here to, you know, I always think it's like, we don't actually need to fix the problem always. Like, let's just de-escalate it. Like, let's figure out a way to make sure that water is not flooding into the room, and if it's a small leak, like it's just making the tile a little wet, like that can wait.
Right. How bad is the problem? That I think that's one of the hardest parts about the business is when you're starting to delegate those responsibilities, and that's kind of the first one you want to delegate is that inbound
call
flood of calls.
Yeah.
Does the person who's fielding it have the wherewithal to understand what constitutes an emergency, what isn't?
Right.
You know.
It's tough. It's not easy. One thing we've had some success on is now forcing videos to come along.
That's good.
Now, with this situation, I mean, the video would have been comical. I'm not sure
the video would have got a lot of views.
but the video does help with, like, is it, you know, to your point, is it a flood coming in, or is it a trickle, you know? I don't know, videos just do a better job than words of explaining what's actually happening. Yeah. I mean, having done this for a decade now, managing a lot of properties, it's really hard to teach someone what's an emergency. Because so many situations require, like this, where in the protocol would you explain what to do with someone when they're stuck next to a toilet?
Right.
I mean, it's like ridiculous.
Right, there's no policy and procedures book. Where we're going to cover this issue.
Right. So a lot of it is like just using some common sense, which is like really hard to teach.
Right. It's actually the least common of the senses.
I like that. That's funny. What else is something you've learned over the years that's good advice for a new landlord?
I would say that call thing is very critical. You know, just because not just is it not taking a call, like every single call and taking them so quickly, but you get into these situations where like something is very heated and you'll get, if you don't take the live call about that, like that live call can completely wreck your concentration and your day and, you know, your life if you're responsive enough to it, and you think like, oh, I'm doing a good job, I'm being responsive, I'm taking care of my properties, but really like you're just getting beaten down. If you let that go to voicemail and you listen to like this extremely fired up situation, I found that I give myself a little bit of time to think on that and then call the person back or text them back and like start to re-engage once I've already formulated how I want to handle the situation.
Yeah.
And then I'm not letting them like push me or take me to a place I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, which is very extremely easy to happen. And that's when I think a lot of issues happen between landlords and tenants is
around emotions.
Right. Around emotions, and people get reactive in the moment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my God, like I said or did this and like, it's not a way I wanted to react if I'm being at my best.
Right.
You know, and then the tenant thinks, oh, this guy's just a jerk, or, you know, or you could do something that's, you know, could be perceived as unethical or bad.
Right.
And you're really just like getting pushed off your game.
Yeah. If you're not careful, right. If you're self-managing properties, if let's say you had, I don't know, let's say you had 40 And let's say over the course of a year, one weird thing happens every weekend. Before you know it, every weekend, something is happening.
Right.
And in some properties, it might be two times a year. So you can have a couple things going on every weekend. I mean, that stress starts to build up, and that's when investing in real estate is just not fun anymore.
Right. Yeah, I have a friend. He has an 11 unit and a 4 unit, and he takes calls directly, and he's like a real like tough guy, and like I've kind of coached him into not doing that, like responding to these people, because he's like called them back, flips out on them, like berates them, and then it doesn't always cause a big problem for him in the moment, but then like he's getting turnover, or these tenants are doing retaliatory things to him.
Yeah, when rent's due the next first of the month, if right. you think that rent's coming in full in the first right. of the month, good luck.
Yeah, he just has these not good relationships. So he's had to also put people in between him and the tenants just to avoid that.
Yeah.
But he's getting better about it now.
I'll tell you something we found that was really successful was we've gone almost entirely to our customer service. For properties that we manage almost entirely sits in Mexico.
Okay.
And what we found is, well, two things. One, it helps when people want to speak Spanish and they can speak Spanish.
Right.
That's one. But the other thing is just like that culture, for whatever reason, seems to be really good at just being calm and not like if the other person's yelling, they just kind of are good at like diffusing the situation and it not like stressing them out to the point of wanting to quit their life and job and stuff. And so they kind of, it just seems like that culture is okay with that. And we'll stay with the company. Whereas it seems like Americans, one, they're not as good at diffusing the situation, but they internally get so much more stress from it. And then they quit, so our employee turnover is really high.
Right.
Whereas we hire people in Mexico, they actually appreciate the job for sort of being a job, I guess.
Right.
And just kind of go through it. And you can coach them, here's what to do when. And they'll not only follow the rules, but they'll do it in a way that's maybe a little nicer than how you and I might be on a Saturday. You know.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, that's for sure. Thanks.
Through it. And I care. I care about you. I care about solving the problem, and here's where I'm going. That seems to be the right way, without cursing or screaming.
Right.
So, that's a good one. I wish you had a picture of this.
I know, me too. This was pre-iPhone days. This was when this happened. That was before the iPhone.
Is the toilet right next to the wall?
It was pretty close. Like you have city rental properties too, or have had them at some point in time. These bathrooms are not big.
Right.
It's not like there's like some 4 foot space between the toilet and the wall. It had to be like a
couple feet.
A foot and a half.
Yeah.
Like.
But she had a cell phone on her, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is that what she was calling?
Right. She did have a cell phone.
That's crazy. All right, man. Nice to come by.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
Cool. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. This edition of the Real Estate Hackers Show. If you've not yet become a member of Real Estate Hackers, you can do that for free at realestatehackers.com. Get access to all of the amazing real estate hacker deals from incredible vendors, a ton of content and materials for you, the investor. You can follow Real Estate Hackers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you can give us a 5-star review for the podcast, I would personally really appreciate it. We read every review, and thank you so much for helping us grow this community for you, the real estate investor.